of Ephesians. We've come to here chapter 4 and verse 25. Now, you might recall that a few weeks ago, we had went to Acts chapter 13 and spent some time there. We've gone through Ephesians, and we've taken primarily several verses at a time, but now comes a torture. We're going to go super slow, but there's a purpose for that. Ephesians chapter 4, we looked at verses 17 on through 24. And in that passage, we see that we're to take off the former things and put on the new. What are those things? Well, now Paul gets into those, and as I was preparing, I said to myself, you know, when was the last time, for example, today in verse 25, that I ever preached or heard a message on lying? On lying. We know lying is wrong. Exodus chapter 20 tells us that thou shalt not lie. We ever heard a message on it? Ever thought through it? So we're going to look at it today. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul in the book of Ephesians, he takes and begins the first three chapters telling us about the glorious salvation that we have because God, who looked down on us with mercy because of his great grace with which he graced us, he looked down upon us, had mercy, and put and moved us. It is by faith, then, that we are saved. Not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of the things that we've done. So that way we can't get to heaven and brag about how great we are. There's a unity that takes place in the book of Ephesians because it's a unity that happens in the gospel. That is, the Jews, this is what they were dealing with, and the Gentiles were made one. The Gentiles were not made Jews, and the Jews were not made Gentiles. The believing Jews and the believing Gentiles were made the church, the body of Christ. So now there is not black and white. There is not Hispanic and Karen. There's not older and young. We're one in Christ. Sure, within Christ, we're a different local body of believers. We're a little different than Temple Baptists. We're in a different place. We're a little different than Good Shepherd Baptist because we're in a different place. We have a little different ministries that we have. But in Christ, we are one. And how do you, even though there is in reality one, sometimes you don't act as one, do you? Sometimes you act like brothers and sisters in Christ. And brothers and sisters in a family, they don't get along. And in the body of Christ, they don't get along. That sin nature is still there, and we argue and fight and lie to one another. Paul, he says, even though you're one in Christ, you need to build that unity amongst yourselves. How do you do that? Well, one of the things you need to do is you need to take the old man and get rid of it. The former ways that you lived after, those desires that you sought after, get rid of them. And then instead, be renewed in your mind. Put on the new man, which is created in God, created according to God, in real righteousness and true holiness. That's who to put on. So how do we do that? You know, we look at the scriptures and their general statements, and then details given. Are at home and say, today we're going to clean. That's the general statement. So you know what you're supposed to do is clean. This morning, It was the keys. This morning at my house, we had a key epidemic. I mean, it was just horrible. We had the red sirens going. 911, I think, was called. It was just terrible. Could not find the keys. So, I did real good today. I didn't lie. I didn't blame the kids. I don't think I blamed the kids. I did ask Zach if he had them last. I thought maybe he had them last. But we had a situation where we could not find the keys. I had been here and there. Dawn's laid up, and so I play Mr. Mom. Mr. Mom, I'm sure glad I'm not a mom. Moms get top prize when it comes to this kind of thing. So I know that I'd been out. I'd taken kids mowing, and we'd come to church, and so there's keys somewhere. Well, I ended up finding half my keys here and the other half at home. But go find the keys. That was the general statement. So then, you know, with kids, sometimes big kids too, but with kids, you have to be a little more specific. Okay, you look in the couch. You look over in that room. You look in the van. So I finally found them in the van. Somebody apparently left them there. I don't have a clue who would have done that, but they got left there. So I found where I put the keys, and then we were, we called 911 back, said we found them and all that. We didn't really call 911. That was a lie. We found the keys, and we made it here. The Bible, it gives commands. Love God and love your neighbor. Two, if we follow those, all the rest fits into place, right? But sometimes we have to ask, what does that look like? Because I might think of loving my neighbor means something different than what somebody else thinks. I might think loving my neighbor means I look at him and say, hi. Whereas somebody else thinks loving my neighbor is taking cookies over to them or doing their yard. Loving God, same kind of idea. Well, for some, loving God meant animal sacrifices. Does that mean I should do animal sacrifices? That's the way they did in the book of Numbers I'm reading through. Is loving God mean that I hug trees because God made trees? What does it mean? Well, the Bible is very clear. We have the Ten Commandments to kind of direct us, and we have the rest of Scripture to direct us. We have a general statement to take off the old man and his desires, put on the new man. What does that look like? So we're going to stay here in chapter 4 and settle down a little bit and think about what that means. What does that mean? Nothing but the truth, right? He's supposed to, I don't know, I haven't been to court recently. Now you're supposed to take the Bible and you put your hand on the Bible and put your right hand in the air and say, I solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I think that's the way they do it on TV. Yeah, so help me God. I don't know. They probably took that one out because if you say the word God, the building will collapse and the earth will implode, apparently. So I don't know. They're scared of God, but they don't want to fear God. And you swear to tell the whole truth. You're going to say everything that you say is going to be accurate. Everything you say is going to be a real event. Paul, he gives a command here. Let's look here. How is it that you and I are to change to glorify God? To reflect Christ. To reflect the great salvation we have and the new position, relationship we have with God. How do I reflect Christ? By putting on the new man, taking off the old. Verse 24, that you put off lying. Put off lying. This is almost dumb, isn't it? Well, you know you're not supposed to lie. I want you to consider some things. So, last time you took and thought through, what does it mean to lie? Let's look at the dictionary. A couple dictionary. The Oxford Dictionary says to an intentionally false statement. The Nelson's Bible Commentary, a lie is any statement or act designed to deceive another person. I think we sometimes unintentionally lie. I don't think we really lie. But we don't tell the truth. And this is why. We have the wrong information. We've been misinformed. Maybe somebody has told us something wrong. Maybe we've forgotten the details. Maybe the way that we heard it, we misunderstood. Or it's our perspective of what happened. I don't think you're necessarily lying there. You're just taking the information that you have and you're giving it back out. But the bad part is the information that you're using is bad. So, when somebody comes up to you and says, Dawn, she was hit by a car. It was tragic. She was in surgery for 13 hours. And finally, she's already home. And she's doing fantastic. She just saw her out playing basketball the other day. Now, there are some truths there. She's been in a car accident. It was a long time ago. She's had surgery real recently. It was no 13 hours. She didn't even think it seemed like 13 hours. She slept through the whole thing. She was in surgery. She goes out and plays basketball. She hasn't hardly moved much since the surgery, though. That was before the surgery, and it will be after the surgery, after she's healed up. But she's not out there playing basketball with us. So, what do we know? We know there is information there. Somewhere in translation, it got mixed up. So, what's the best thing to do? Go to the original source. That's why when I see a news events happen on, pop up, news event, I know I can wait to 30 minutes, maybe a couple hours, and it'll change because the story gets straightened out sometimes. Sometimes it's just an event, there's a car accident. You can't really mess that one up too bad. But sometimes the details that get involved, how many people died, the number grows or it shrinks depending on the details that come in. I don't think the media is, in those cases, necessarily intending to lie to you. But I think they just don't have the information. I think there's times that they are, but I think there's times there's not. When you go and you tell somebody something, it is upon us to make sure that our information is straight or to give only those details that we know and be careful that when we spit it back out, we're not adding to or drawing conclusions that aren't there. I've heard it. You've heard it before where, all of a sudden, no. Well, and then it comes down when you get to you either talk to the original source or as close as you can to it, and then you find out, that's not exactly what happened. Lying is when we intentionally strive to deceive somebody. Have you ever lied? Oh, sure you've lied. It's been a long time, though, hasn't it? Like the last time you used your driver's license and they asked you your age and weight, right? That might be the last time you lied. We lie about our age, about our weight, about how good of a person we are, about how experienced we are at something. Maybe we lie to somebody. One of my, Geico always comes up with great commercials, don't they? I like the one where it's the one with Honest Abe. And you see his wife and she asks that question no woman should ever ask their husband, which is, does this dress make me look fat? And he's, if I recall the commercial correctly, he kind of hems and haws, and that's about all she gets out of him, and she stomps off angry. The truth can hurt, can't it? It can be very hurtful. And we don't want somebody to feel bad. And so we take and we fudge the truth a little bit. Oh, sure, Pastor, your beard looks fine. I guess, maybe. My wife, oh, sure, you look good if you're not going out with me. You know, sometimes you might just change the truth just a little bit so that way somebody doesn't feel, you know, the kids come up and they do their picture. And I never understood it, but, you know, you got to be gentle. The kids come up with something, you're looking at it, and you're thinking with the drawing they did. You know, they're only five, and they did some drawing, and what do they want to hear from you? That's fantastic. And so you say, that's fantastic. What is it? You know, it's so good, I can't figure out what it is. You want to be encouraging, but you need to be careful that we're not flat out lying. We lie, though. I think I know most of you well enough. I would say that most of you aren't necessarily in the habit of flat out lying to people. I wonder, though, how often do we lie when we start blaming other people for something that's our fault? Like this morning, I knew the keys was my fault. And I thought I did pretty good because I didn't go around and say, you had them last. What did you do with them? We like to blame other people when we're convinced ourselves it's not our fault. We lie to ourselves. I'm a pretty good person. We lie to ourselves to try to have another piece of pie because another piece won't hurt. We lie even to God. Well, God knows I try. We know what that means. We're putting as little amount of effort into it as we can. But in our minds, we're trying as hard as we can. Well, God knows I try to read my Bible every day. There's the famous quote, the old movie from The Empire Strikes Back, where Yoda says to do or don't do. There is no try. In life, sometimes that's what it is. We need to be careful because we can look at ourselves as those who don't lie, but do we lie? Do we lie to our hearts about how good of a Christian we are? Do we lie to ourselves about what our relationships are? Do we deny the reality of what's happening? Sometimes we're not denying the reality of what's happening, but we're looking and saying, okay, this is where it is, but that doesn't mean all is lost. That's the case. Dawn, she says, oh, I'm in a lot of pain. And I said, but this pain will go away in a few days. You know, it's bad now, but there's more. There's the encouragement that's brought along. We need to make sure that we speak the truth. And in speaking the truth, that there's five things that we can see as foundations of the truth. And the fact is that God is truth. God is truth. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, it says that God is a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is He. And Psalm 31, verse 5, we read that into your hand I commit my spirit. We read that. The last half of that verse says, you have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. God is God of truth. Isaiah 65, verse 16, says, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. God is the God of truth. What does that mean? God, is absolute truth. There's no falsehood in him. No trickery, no deception. What you see is what you get. God doesn't masquerade as somebody else. He is God. And because he is, he's trustworthy. God is trustworthy. God is truth, which means he is trustworthy. You can trust, completely trust who he is. Satan, though, he's the father of lies. Remember, at first he took the truth and twisted it, and then he ended up flat out lying. God doesn't twist the truth. God is the truth. And God speaks the truth. God's word is truth. John 17:17, your word is truth. Psalm 119:43, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Because God's word is truth. And in Psalm 119:160, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. God's word is truth. That means when you open up your Bible, guess what's not there? Lies. I mean, that is, it accurately records the events that took place, including the lie that Ananias and Sapphira gave. But it accurately records that. Everything in your Bible is truth. So I can trust whatever God says, because I know God is trustworthy, and I know his word is trustworthy. If I know God is trustworthy, and his word is trustworthy, obviously I know that God knows the truth. He is truth. When you say God knows the truth, what it means is that God knows the truth about me. He knows the kinds of things that I think. He knows the kinds of ways that I act. He knows the desires that well up within me that I want to do. When I'm hungry, when I'm tired, when I'm angry, when I'm jealous. He knows every emotion that you feel. He knows every thought that you think. He knows every motive you have. He knows why you come to church. He knows you come to church because it's Sunday, that's what you do. He knows if you're coming to church because, well, so-and-so's there. I want to keep up with them. Well, somebody's got to do this ministry. I better show up to church. He knows your heart and knows if you are here because you want to fellowship with him and his people. See, God knows our motives. He's not tricked by the lies that we tell ourselves. He knows those things. God knows our souls and our hearts, the things that we say, the things that we're trusting in. Yeah, I'm trusting God. I'm scared to death. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what to do. If I'm trusting God, I can say, wait a minute. Who am I trusting to go through this? Who am I trusting to help solve an issue, a problem? Who am I following? This morning in Sunday school class, I like to bring up my Sunday school class. It's the best teen Sunday school class this church has got. And so the teacher is just, it's the best teen teacher we have in this church. It's just fantastic. That might be a lie too. In Sunday school, we talked about hypocrisy. Judas knew his heart. I think that Judas at times convinced himself that he was a follower of Christ. He sure acted like it on the outside, and what did his heart show? He was nothing more than the thief, there along for the ride. God knows our truth, knows the truth. Psalm 69, verse 5. Oh God, you know my foolishness and my sins are not hidden from you. Job 11, 11. He knows deceitful men. He sees the wickedness also. Will he not consider it? Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all their paths. He knows. He knows even better than you and I do. Why do we stop to get gas at that gas station? Because the pop is on sale there. That's why. Had nothing to do with it. I don't know, whatever reason. God knows our hearts. He knows the truth. And God, being God of truth, His word is truth. Knowing the truth, He demands the truth. There it is, Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't lie about your neighbor. Did you ever consider, why do we lie? I tell you why. Well, we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. We mentioned that one. We want to look good, don't we? We don't want to look as bad as somebody else. So we might brag a little bit about how we, you know, what we do. A resume? Have you filled out a resume before? Down there, where you make yourself look good. And so for some people, that means lying a little bit. You know, well, I worked there for this many years, and I was practically the manager. I didn't do anything that was manager thing, but I knew how to run it better than he did. We might lie on a resume. On our taxes. We might lie on taxes and say, well, we only made this much money. Well, we did as far as the government knows. We might lie in our taxes. We might lie to our neighbor. Oh, yeah, well, you know, my kids are pretty good. You know, I got a kid in honors classes, and he's the top of his. I should go around bragging about my kids, about how they're the top of their students in their class at their school. I should do that. Because it would be completely truthful, because we homeschool, but might be a lie. It might be taken as some sort of deception. Why do we lie? Because we want to cover our tracks. We don't want to get in trouble. God, though, He demands the truth. We need to do what God expects, don't we? And He says, take off the lying and speak the truth. You know, sometimes we can be really good at telling somebody the truth. That is the absolute ugliest shirt I've seen in my life. Guys, have you ever heard that one from your wives? Honey, I've had this since college. I love this shirt. Get rid of the shirt. And for some reason, it disappears. You never know what's happened to it. I love my Mad Dog shirt. I've had that since college. And what it was we would go out and we called it Mad Dogging. It was playing Ultimate Frisbee. Called it Mad Dog because we had a hard time getting up. But, for classes. But when it came to before classes, and we could play this game, so we'd get up before classes and play this game. And so somebody had shirts made, and I bought a couple of them, and somebody else did too. Love those shirts. Wish I could print more. It was my favorite shirt. And of course, your favorite shirt, and your wife always hates. I don't know if that's true, but it ended up disappearing. It was old, it had holes in it. It died a long time before she threw it away. So it probably wasn't a bad thing. You can get away with that when you got kind of a relationship that a husband and wife have, don't you? Because you know you still love the person. But if you went up to somebody at Walmart, you looked right at them, you stopped, and you said, That is the ugliest shirt I ever seen. You might leave with no teeth. Why would you do that? Because it's the truth. It is ugly. What does he say here? He says, put away lying. Each one of you speak truth with love. Speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. We need to speak the truth. But in verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good and necessary for edifying, for building up, that it may impart grace to its hearers. Do you see what's taking place here? He says here that when you tell the truth in verse 29, the way you tell it should be gracious. There should be love involved in this. It shouldn't be about okay, this is what's true, so I'm going to tell you this to you, and I hope you're really mad at me for it. We need to speak the truth. We need to speak reality. We need to speak accurately and honestly. One of the books I have is a cautious book, I call it. It's a book on psychology. And psychology, from a man's point of view, is to make observations and then presumptions, generally thinking that man is pretty good, and the only reason he's bad is because of bad influences in his life. The Bible, though, says you're all rotten to the core, and only by the grace of God you don't act as rotten to the core as you really are. But it did have this to say. It talks about lying, and in this book it says, lying, what lying is denying reality. I thought, you know, that's pretty true. Especially when it comes to us. When we say, you know, another piece of pie won't hurt tonight. Another scoop of ice cream won't hurt. Yeah, that's not what you would have said if your doctor is sitting right there. That's why we didn't invite any doctors. We need to understand that the reality of a situation and not lie to ourselves that, well, you know, it's only a little white lie. Have we ever said that? Or you know, nobody's really getting hurt in the deal. You know, somebody does get hurt. You know who gets hurt? It's you. Your integrity. If people know that you've lied to them before, do they really trust you that well? If you had a politician come to your house and start telling you things that you think sound a little unbelievable, wouldn't you say, well, let's see, this is a politician, which means I probably shouldn't trust them. Isn't that kind of the American thinking? If you're a politician or a lawyer, you can't trust them? Or a car salesman? We need to have integrity. We need to be trustworthy. And if we have that integrity and trustworthiness, when it comes to the last one, speaking God's truth, they can trust what we're saying is accurate. When we say the Bible is true, hopefully their faith is in God and His Word, not in us. But they'll say, you know, I can trust what he's saying because that guy, he tells the truth. He even hurts himself. We need to speak the truth and we need to speak it kindly. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, that which is necessary for edification. You can speak the truth in a nice way. Honey, I'm not real keen on that dress on you. No, that's probably the better way to do it. I don't know. You could be like a guy, though. I don't know. I'm not really the one to ask. You know? Wait, what do we know, right? Speak the truth in niceness, in generosity. There's ways to tell the truth to somebody that you're not just destroying them. There's ways that you can say, look, honey, I appreciate all the hard work you do around here. But when you put the toilet paper on, could you please put it on this way for me? You know, that's a lot better way than being very harsh and mean about it. Why can't you ever? Probably all done that, haven't we? Comes down to the end here about speaking God's truth. Paul here, he says, put off that old man. Put off the former conduct. The man, it grows more corrupt by the moment because it is those deceitful, those tricky desires, the ones that say they'll fulfill, the ones that say that they're the answer, the ones that are so delightful. What do they bring in the end? They bring ruin to them lives, their own lives. They bring ruin to the other people around them. Well, nobody else is getting hurt. Yeah, give it a little bit of time. See what it does to your character. See what it does to your body. See what it does to your mentality. See what it does to the home and how it starts to cause mistrust and broken relationships at home and even divorces and just all kinds of deception. And at work, put off those things, he says. Put on, be renewed in your mind. The way that you think, put on the new man. The old man, he lies. And we even lie about the old man. Get those lies out of your life. Like if we're real honest, we're not as honest as we think we are. I think generally speaking, we're probably trustworthy here, but how often do we lie and say, well, it's just five over, and you know, they won't give you a ticket for being five over, even though God says, obey the law, or it's no big deal that I put gasoline and use that for killing the stuff off the bushes instead of kill the bushes off and the grass around it. Maybe burn the house down too, but that's okay because it'll kill what I want it to kill. Even though they say not to do that. How often do we lie to ourselves that something is okay when it's not? How often have we changed our conscience to the degree that we say something is okay when it's not? How do we know what's right? How do we know the truth? We go to the source. God is truth. His word is truth. So I look at God's truth, and I put it into my life. I put off the old, putting off lying, and what do I put on? The truth. Speak truth to his neighbor, for we're members of one another. We're part of the body of Christ, therefore speak the truth. Speak the truth to one another. Speak the truth in confrontation. Speak the truth in edification. And always speak the truth with a heart of love. One that builds up and is gracious to hearers rather than one tears down. In the scriptures we see all kinds of examples of lying. And you might go home and you might notice on the back of your notes the applications. Those are there for you to take home, to meditate on throughout the week. And one of them is to look at lies. One way is maybe looking up the word lie. Maybe looking up ways people have lied. What did they lie about? How was the lie handled? Was it just recorded in Scripture? Or was there approval or disapproval shown for it? God hates murder. That's why he says in Exodus chapter 20, in the giving of the Ten Commandments, do not murder. God is serious about no other gods before him. You will not have any other gods before me. God was so serious about it taking his name in vain, using it as a swear word, they says if it happens, that person is to be stoned to death. He says to honor your father and your mother, and if you don't, you have a rebellious, not just disobedient, but a flat-out rebellious, consistently rebellious child, you are, according to my law, to put him to death. And in the same commandments, he says, do not lie. Do you think God is serious about that? Or was he serious only about three or four others, but not so much this one? We need to be careful that we are thinking what God wants us to think, renewing our mind, that I will speak the truth. I always speak it. I'll speak it to the best of that I am informed. And somebody corrects me, I'll change what I'm saying so that way I'm making sure it's right. So when I tell people things, sometimes we make up stories. But I usually have mine pretty obvious that you know that I'm not flat out lying. I'm just trying to tell you a story to grab your attention. And if it's not obvious, then I make sure that it's obvious. I think there's some room for that. But at the same time, I need to make sure that I am being a man of integrity. I need to make sure I speak the truth, not only to others, but I'm honest about my relationship with God and about what my heart is as well. Father, I pray that you'll help us. Today we've taken time to look at your word. Lord, I thank you that you are trustworthy and that you never lie. We, to our core, because of our sin nature, are a bunch of liars. I thank you that you've made us new creation when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. So, Father, I ask that having put our faith in Jesus Christ, that you will help us to reflect that by the conscience, intentional work that it takes to when those temptations come to say no. Instead of trying to lie to explain why I'm late, to explain why I didn't get something done, to explain why I feel a certain way, that I put that aside and just be real honest about the decisions that I've made, that we'll accept the responsibility for our decisions. Father, the way that we present ourselves to other people, I pray that we be done so with integrity. I pray that as others look at us, they will be able to say, there is an honest man. Father, to whatever degree he deserved it or not, we think of Abraham Lincoln with a reputation of being honest Abe. Father, help us to have that same kind of reputation. May we have that integrity. Father, I thank you for each one here. I thank you for their desire. They want to serve you, and it's hard sometimes. So I pray that you'll help us, that we be honest with you, others and our integrity about where we are with you, that we might grow closer to you, that we might reflect who you are, and that ultimately we may be able to share Christ, share your truth with those around us. Father, I ask these things in Jesus' name.